With a VSP individual vision plan, you're the one pulling the strings. Because taking care of your eye health after retirement comes with a lot of decisions that only you should make, like choosing how to save on the lens enhancements you need, the right name brand frames for your style, and choosing your eye doctor from the nation's largest independent doctor network. Even how you enroll is up to you. Make the best decisions for your vision at the eye doctor's office, retail locations, and online with VSP individual vision plans.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation.
Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Good afternoon. This show is actually going to be on 1210 a.m. K-Praise on what I call after church drive time. And we look forward to folks listening to we're going to have my pastor on shortly, but they can go from listening to a phenomenal Sunday morning message to the radio, and he will be on the radio. So it'll be just like nonstop. With our guests coming up here. But Kelly, welcome. And you have some exciting news with your husband recently.
I do.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so Steve, we actually just on December 16th, he was sworn in for the Fallbrook Union Elementary School District. And when he got there, I decided to show up. I actually wasn't going to go. We were so busy with sports and I was making dinner and just got done with work, but I loaded up the kids. We ran over there and we were there to see him get sworn in. And then he sits down and they do a vote. There's five board members. And as of now, there's two who I don't know exactly where they stand, but they definitely weren't, you know, running with us when it comes to conservative Christian values. So somewhere either in the middle or on the left is where their viewpoint is. And one of them was the president of the board and one of them was a clerk. And that first day that my husband got sworn in, he took vice president. One of our conservative friends is now the president. And then another conservative Christian is the clerk. So on the first day of his inauguration, if you will, they were able to not only flip the board 3-2 now for conservatives, but they also are now leading the board as president, vice president.
Wow. That's
so I was excited. I was so proud of him. I was like, that is what toxic masculinity looks like. And I love it. No, but he is, he's somebody who really takes the bull by the horns and is not afraid, you know, to get in there, get his hands dirty and make sure that he causes a good ruckus. In the sense of bringing about good change for our kids. And he's willing, you know, I told him, I said, you know, my first day, no way was I going to, you know, put myself up as president of the council. And he was willing to do it. So I was really proud of him. I'm proud of the whole board. I'm proud of everybody behind the scenes who helped make it happen. And it was just a really great night. And we got to meet everybody, superintendents, principals of every school. Just a wonderful staff. And it was just an incredible meeting, incredible time. And I felt like, wow, God has his hand on this. This is pretty cool.
Well, that's just a phenomenal example, Kelly, of where Christians need to step up and get involved in school boards and city councils and assembly seats and state senator seats, because it can have a big impact. Now, were you and the boys, you have four boys, were they the cheering section? Did they ask you to calm down?
Yeah, I think I got a couple looks when I was woohooing a few few too many times.
Well, but for folks that don't know, Leif Hansen is an engineer with the fire department in the Los Angeles area, and so I've met with him. He's been on the air with us, and he's—I know you respect him a lot, but he is a solid citizen and understanding biblical citizenship, and. And what a great opportunity. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, and I would say this, too, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to gloat about my husband, but I think he's really a good example of, you know, a man saying no to our current culture and society and saying, I'm going to continue to be a man because it's what our world needs. It's what my family needs. It's what our community needs, is real men standing up and saying, no, sorry, I'm not going to go along with this woke agenda or ideology. I'm going to protect the kids. And I'm really, I'm going to be a man, you know, I'm stronger, and God created me a little bit bigger than some people. And I'm going to use that in for good to protect, you know, like I said, my family, my kids, the culture. And so I'm so proud of him. I mean, if you can't tell, very proud.
I think we can tell, but that's exactly, you think about the change of leadership, the direction that the Fallbrook School, and that will be an example to other school boards, and the impact that will have on many lives, on the classrooms, and the leadership that that is really needed for that. You know, in San Diego, we have our county supervisor board voted to 3-1 to make certain that we harbor criminals, that the immigration service, that they can't get rid of these folks. And it's an example of what happens when folks who really do not have any biblical foundation and they decide to. So that policy that they pass, now it'll be interesting to see how it gets upheld, but we'll work hard to make our, including Fallbrook, make things difficult in San Diego, and we're already on the national news, along with Boston and Chicago, as being we're going to do everything we can to make it difficult to deport the criminals. Yeah, we got to have the criminals so that they're doing harm. Just, you know, the insanity, I have to tell you, Kelly, that we've seen for the last 48 months is just insane. I'm sure you're aware that Biden is trying to secretly sell off the wall at $5 a linear foot or something. And all this material that we've paid for and has been sitting out in the desert, and nobody's actually opposing putting up the wall. But good old Joe, of course, he's going to do everything he can to, behind the scenes, mastermind the destruction of Donald Trump, even though there's a clear mandate to the contrary. You know, we've lived through 48 months of insanity. 4 years ago, who would have been talking about transgender surgeries? Who would have been talking about making sure that you can have an abortion the day before a child is born? Who would have talked about letting 8 to 10 million people into this country unvetted and just open up the borders? I mean, you sit back and it's almost like this, you're waking up from a nightmare. Fortunately,
and especially here in California, you know, billions of dollars are being channeled towards the homelessness issue. I know we had a guest on recently. We were talking about that. It's just, where has that money gone except for to actually expand the homeless population? Yeah. And so, like you said, it's just been a crazy last 4 years of seeing incredible, in my opinion, satanic things happening. And I'm just really excited that we're now going to clean it up. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the other show. I am talking about my husband being a man. I'm seeing a lot of men who maybe were moderate, didn't talk about politics, definitely would never say they were Trump fans, all of a sudden wearing MAGA hats. They're excited. There's a different feeling about it. So I think even people who maybe weren't sure how they felt about Trump specifically, I think they knew wherever we were headed, it was not a good direction. And so even though they maybe weren't willing to talk about it publicly, I think they're relieved that we're now going to see a change. And I mean, just ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I doubt it. No. And is our country, is there less crime, less homelessness? You know, is there, are you feeling safer? Is inflation down? Are jobs up? I mean, no. Answer across the board is no. So
pretty rapid change is going. The Feds dropped the interest rate another notch today. Walmart came out and said, you know, this DEI stuff is kind of nuts. And so they're saying goodbye to DEI, as well as other companies like John Deere and others are going, you know, this doesn't make any sense.
Ford.
And they're just saying this insanity. And what's kind of amazing is how people get sucked into this stuff and they just don't have the backbone to stand up and say what's right. A lot of times I've noticed in just the business life, if you'll say something, kind of pointing to the elephant in the room, others will go, yeah, that's what I was thinking. And we need to have more people with, Senator Kennedy said to the NCAA chief the other day, you know, about the having the transgenders in the women's locker room. He said, why don't you go to Amazon and order a spine?
Yeah, exactly. Sure, they sell it.
Well, you know, the PAC is moving along. We're going to be announcing the 2025 game plan, which is going to be focused not so much on elections, but it will be focused on four things. It's going to talk about how do we get rid of the Marxist teachers in the universities because they're poisoning the well and have for 40 years. Secondly, climate change is largely a hoax, and we need to deal with that, and that permeates into everything, including electric vehicles. And then the DEI. DEI is kind of dying on its own. I don't know how much pressure we have to put on people on that. But also something called ESG, which has to do more with investing in organizations in the stock market that support DEI and Marxism. So those are critical things. But we do have upcoming on June 20th. Kelly, you were at the Trey Gowdy event last year on Flag Day.
It was amazing. Food was good. Everybody there was excited. It was great speakers. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Beautiful location.
It triggered. Well, this year we've locked in June 20th, and we have Rachel Campo Duffy as our key speaker. Now, anybody that watches Fox and Friends on the weekends, Rachel is the is one of the hosts, and she's going to be the wife of the new Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, and she's coming out to speak. She is the mother of 9 children, Kelly. 9.
Woo!
You wouldn't to look Bless at her, you heart. Wouldn't know she had 2 kids, but is full of energy. Does some? She has actually some a whole romance thing about how her and Sean met, and that's a whole. I don't think I'm gonna have her tell that story too much, but nevertheless, she'll do a great job, and we have a lot of fun music and other guest speakers that are going to be there. So June 20th, mark it down. We've already have 30 people signed up for the program, and we'll be announcing more and more of that coming up here for kind of the one big event in the summer of 2025, which is 2 weeks from our national birthday, in which we turn 250.
Wow. 250.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So fun stuff. Now, today we have a special guest who is a good friend of mine, the pastor of our church at Faith Community Church in Carlsbad, and we'll be talking to him in just a minute.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation. Foundation.org.
Are you looking for a local top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle market public and private companies to high net worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Well, Justin Windham, welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive. And
hey, thank you.
So, Justin, we you and I have known each other for quite a while. I serve as an elder in the church, and you're the senior pastor. And I think you've been there as long as I've been. I can't quite remember when I came to the church, but we got invited by some members, and back when Patti Page was singing. And
yes,
that goes back a ways, Kelly, but we got involved in the church when it was, it would meet in various community centers and did that for almost 1,000 Sundays of setting up and tearing down. And I'm sure Justin will tell us a little bit about the church. But we want to, first of all, kind of understand more of your background and, sure. You know, how you got involved in Christian ministry.
Yeah, so I grew up in East County, Santee, and my parents are still today wonderful Christian examples. And so they raised us, I think, in a very balanced environment of, you know, definitely being Christ-centered, biblically oriented, and yet not being legalistic, you know, not being ones that were putting so much pressure on us as kids to you know, be, you know, super spiritual when we're, you know, 8 years old or whatever. So it was a very good environment for me to grow up in. And then, of course, when I was in high school, I started questioning, you know, all my faith decisions from my childhood. You know, like, is this just something I believe because I was taught it by my parents? And so I sort of took a deep dive on my own spiritual journey. And one book that was really influential to me was Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ. And I realized, you know, when you go and interview the smartest people in the world and try and dump them in terms of their views on Christianity and the history and the veracity of the Bible and did Christ really live and did he die and did he rise from the dead, which Lee Strobel was trying to, you know, poke holes in all that Christian thinking. You know, Lee Strobel gets converted and I'm reading this just riveted, and it was sort of a foundational sort of reaffirmation of my faith in Christ. And then I went to San Diego State, where I had opportunity to sort of now, as a budding, you know, novice apologist, which I'm really not that much of an apologist, but I remember going into what really felt like a hostile environment in terms of my faith. I took a, you know, Christianity 101, and I remember thinking, well, these people that are teaching the course, they don't even believe it, and they're skeptics, and they're trying to teach me about Christianity, but at every turn they are belittling it and minimizing, you know, what we knew to be true or what I felt was true, you know. And so I remember sort of getting in defensive mode at San Diego State, and all the while I was, you know, serving at my church and ministry and doing youth ministry. And then after graduating, I had an opportunity to start seminary. So this was Southern California Seminary, which is a part of David Jeremiah's sort of ministries and organizations of church and like-minded organizations over there in El Cajon. And so for the first time in my life, because I went to public school all my entire life, including at Grossmont College and San Diego State, And then so for the first time being at seminary, I felt like I was finally, you know, among my people who was now, this was supportive of my faith. And so for 4 years as I was getting my MDiv there, I was just enthralled by what I was learning. You know, on the first day, I actually didn't really want to be there. I was offered an opportunity to continue in ministry as a staff member at the church I was at if I went to seminary. And so I sort of went begrudgingly. But on my first day there, I realized how little I knew about the Bible, about theology or whatever. So then the next 4 years was me just, you know, as fervently as possible, trying to acquire as much information as I could about the scriptures and all of that. And so in the course of all that, I ended up getting hired at Faith Community Church, which is where Steve, you and I are still a part of today. And yeah, you were there before me. So it would have been 2007 for you, or maybe 2006. But yeah, I got hired in 2007 as the youth pastor, and then just desiring to serve the Lord however the church wanted to use me, however God wanted to use me, I just started, you know, taking on more responsibility. And then the lead pastor at the time retired a handful of years ago, actually right at the start of COVID, if you recall, Steve. So that was baptism by fire for me, because I took over the lead pastor role when he retired. And so that was a very interesting time that I don't really desire to repeat, but it was, you know, threw me in at the deep end as I started sort of my more, you know, cohesive ministry career over the last 4 years.
We're listening today to Justin Winfield, who is the pastor at Faith Community Church in Carlsbad. And I've known and watched Justin when he came on board. He did a phenomenal job with young people. Now, Kelly, you know, with young people, you've got to have energy through the roof, and you got to constantly be thinking about something creative. And
a hard job.
And he did a phenomenal job on that, and growing young people in the Lord. And we actually rented church facilities on Sunday, but the church office and kind of the youth gathering was a greenhouse, wasn't it?
Yes, we had youth ministry meetings in an abandoned greenhouse, which had lizards and rats and all kinds of other things that the, you know, health inspectors would not have appreciated had they known.
So
I bet the kids loved it, though.
Oh, they loved it. Absolutely. You sit down on a couch and a rat comes out. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, there's something
Get
you
it.
Can't.
Yeah, you can't necessarily duplicate that everywhere.
No.
But thankfully, the property that we lived on has kind of that was there. Tell us a little bit about the history of that acreage off of I-5 in
Leucadia. Yeah, so it was off the 5, right off the Leucadia exit. It was the old abandoned or old nurseries that they had sold that property. And you mentioned the singer Patti Page earlier. I was actually thinking about her recently too. And she put on a singing, you know, gala where everyone was invited. You had to pay money to attend, and that was to act as a fundraiser to help us purchase this property there. I think it was almost eight acres, or even more than 8 acres. And by the way, Steve, I don't know if you know, but Patti Page was the number one selling female singer in the 1950s.
Wow!
And
yeah.
She's one of only, you know, a number of artists who have ever had hit songs in 5 different decades. So
wow.
Yeah, she was a part of our church, and she helped us get that property by raising funds through the gala, along with so many other people behind the scenes who were just, you know, pouring money into it. And we purchased this land, and as you recall, we had to sit on it for a long time because the neighbors didn't want us to build a church there. They probably didn't want anything. They didn't want a Walmart. They just wanted it to be empty land. And so eventually, after realizing, you know, they were picketing and, you know, boycotting and stuff, and we just thought, you know, as you recall, well, what would happen if we put this out on the market, this piece of property? And it was during the recession time back in, I don't know, like 2010 or something like that. And we got a really multiple strong offers, and we sold it for way more than we paid for it. And that enabled us to purchase a smaller piece of land, but a really ideally situated land in Carlsbad off of Poinsettia and El Fuerte. So that's where we're at now. We had money to purchase the land, leftover money to build the property. And, you know, you, Steve, were very, committed to building debt-free, as we all were, and we were able to do that. We built the whole building debt-free, although the second story we had to leave to build out later, almost, you know, nine years later, actually, because we didn't have the money to do it then, but the Lord faithfully provided funds, you know, down the road. So we're just actually wrapping up, putting in our little lift to get people from the downstairs to the upstairs.
Yeah, it's really a remarkable story. The folks around that church, we were going to have a soccer field and a lot of just really nice stuff for young people in the community to enjoy on top of the church, and they didn't want anything to do it. You could actually, Kelly, go on Sunday and step out of the service and meet a bunch of picketers who said, boy, we really don't want this church here. And finally, and we spent a lot of money, unfortunately, on trying to get all that approved. But ultimately, there was a Korean church in Carlsbad that said, we got a nice piece of land. It's all zoned properly, and we just don't have the money to build a building. Well, we were able to strike a deal with them, purchase the land for cash, and then, Justin, you're absolutely right. We had millions of dollars in the bank that allowed us to build the building, minus finishing out the second floor, beautiful building for cash. And I was constantly fighting to keep as much working capital in the organization because, you know, when you're building something like that, Kelly, there's always people who have great ideas on how to spend it. But we've been able to preserve that. The church is debt-free. And we cash flow. And even when we added the second floor, which was almost $1 million, we raised the money for that. God was good. And so we've stayed out of debt. And we've been able to allow Justin the financial freedom to preach without wondering whether he's going to have money for payroll. And we're frugal and whatnot, but thankfully we have a very strong balance sheet, and we have some wonderful donors in the church. I don't know who the donors are. I don't think Justin, you do either. But
no,
there's only one person, kind of the accountant for the church, that even knows who gives. But we have monthly financial reporting. I do that every month with the help of the staff, and we know where we're going versus a budget. And then I put together financial statements that look like an audit that have all the replicate financial statement disclosures and lots of footnotes, kind of stuff the world I live in. And
I'm not sure what Steve doesn't do, by the way, Pastor. If you haven't noticed, he's on every board of every organization. And he wrote a book, I just found out, in the last episode. But hey, I'm just curious, too, as you guys are talking about this, how large is your congregation?
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, or the last couple of weeks, we broke the 200 barrier on a Sunday morning. So we're not really driven by numbers, I think, but numbers matter because numbers represent, you know, human souls. You know? So it's a good thing to keep track of, but I think the Lord has positioned us as a unique church. In other words, if you were to do a little Google search within a couple miles from our church, you would see that there are really plenty of Christian churches around the area, but we tend to get a lot of people coming in from larger churches that come in and they say, you know, I've been going to this church, this large church down the way for 10 years. And every time I show up, I'm treated like I'm a new visitor because no one ever sees the same person twice, kind of a thing. And so they're just looking for community where the pastor can know the people and the people can know the pastor and that kind of thing. So I like to let the Lord keep track of the numbers. But we're thankful that we're growing numerically and also, I think, spiritually in a healthy direction as well.
I love that. And I love that the only reason why you want those numbers is more souls for Christ. I think my husband and I talk about this a lot is that, you know, unfortunately for some pastors, we feel that it was once a mission or it was, you know, a passion of theirs and they were really led by the Lord, but then it just becomes a J-O-B, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it in the way, you know, you're looking at souls and that's your monetary possession, if you will, is those souls. That's the most important. So I agree. I think that we need smaller church. I think that one day we're probably going to go back to churches in the homes. Because we're going to really be wanting, you know, those small groups of intimate interactions with the Lord and with others. So that is awesome. Really cool.
Amen.
Justin, Kel, you'll have to come visit and bring the kids.
I need to.
But Justin does a lot of prep work. And I've said this to you, Justin, before, but his messages are definitely shows the kind of research into, you know, into the scripture and how it connects, going through the book of Luke right now. And really a lot of deep thought. He also is known for telling stories, typically about his family. And he's a young father, and there's always interesting stories about stuff at home that we all get a chuckle out of. And so there's humor. You know, one of the things he didn't mention is that, you know, Justin understands hard work and what it takes to multitask. And as you were going through your years at as the youth pastor, you also had a couple of side hustles, right?
Yeah. So, you know, San Diego is a tough place to live in. And so my wife has always worked part time. But in addition to that, I was, for 15 years, I was DJing wedding receptions, which I just sort of fell into. Never thought I would do that. And once I did one as a favor to a friend, and then someone who attended that wedding said, hey, will you DJ my wedding? And for the first 4 years, I never had a business card or anything. It was just, you know, invite after invite, just having done them. And then it sort of sprang up in a little bit more intentional. But I did that for 15 years and stopped only at when COVID hit in 2020. And then I also was teaching at a college and, you know, teaching some religious studies and communication studies, which were, I have degrees in both of those. And so, yeah, it's always in San Diego, Southern California, you always got to be multitasking in terms of multiple streams of income. Although I am blessed now, as you mentioned, stepping in the lead pastor role 4 years ago, you know, it allowed me, thankfully, to be able to focus, you know, to where I can put, you know, 20 hours or so into a sermon and spend another 30 hours or whatever, you know, helping people and doing, you know, the Lord's work, whatever he has in any given week.
Justin is particularly blessed with what I call glib spontaneity, And you see it in the pulpit, but I think part of it may have been from your DJ training where those guys have to be talking all the time and then making, you know, making things happen. But you do have a real gift in, you know, thinking very quickly. God's given you a very fast-thinking mind. One of the things that's kind of unique that reminds me of the church I went to when I was younger is the pastor used to stand at the back door and greet everybody on the way out the door. You couldn't really, unless you knew another exit, you couldn't get past shaking hands with the pastor. Well, Justin's kind of adopted that same rule, though he tends to focus on folks that are new, which is great. But, you know, I was when I saw that, I've seen you do that for quite a while, Justin, that it reminded me of my childhood. And, in fact, we've had, Kelly, we've had Reverend Bill Shisco on, and that is at his OPC church in New York. And you cannot get out. You kind of have to wait to get out the door because people are queued up. But he always has, you know, very important things to note. And Justin, we've had a lot of new couples and new folks in the church, and you have a great memory of people's names and their interests and whatnot. So, you know, I invite folks to come and visit. The services are on Sunday, and they start at 10 o'clock, and depending on how much preparation they can last till 11:30, but it's we have a good music program. So one of the topics I'd like to kind of talk about is kind of your reflections on the November 5th election and how that may have impacted some of your thinking these days.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's interesting because, you know, as a pastor, some people in the congregation don't want you to talk about politics, and then others don't think you talk about politics enough. And my view, obviously, we're in, you know, an expositional, exegetical, preaching kind of a church. So we're generally going through books of the Bible and letting the text speak for itself. But I have been speaking more politically lately, but it's not because of the fact that I want to hit hot button issues and get people riled up. It's because the political sphere has decided it wants to creep into the Christian sphere or the moral, you know, the moral sphere. So I sort of look at things as sort of like a Venn diagram. You know, you've got one circle of the institution of the family that God has created. You have another circle of the institution of the church that God has created. And you have another circle of the institution of the government, which God has also created. And they do overlap in certain points, but they also have their own spheres. So the government can't tell the family how to raise their kids, and the family can't necessarily tell the church what to do, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yet there are areas of overlap. So morality is universal. Morality is something that, you know, God's standard of morality, which is clearly presented in his word, impacts the family, impacts the church, impacts the government. And so when the government decides that it's going to, you know, instead of, you know, protecting the public and providing for its general welfare and all of that, it's going to start, you know, legislating morality and everything, well, then that's right. That's what God has already spoken on. We already know what God thinks about these things. So anytime there's a rub up against what the government is trying to do morally and what has already been proclaimed as true and right from God's word, I'm going to have something to say about it, and it's not too disjointed, because you can see right from the Bible where the scriptures talk about these things, and you can easily connect the dots. And I think that where Christians last election cycle, like 4 years ago, I think it was like 30 million Christians sat out the election. I think this time around, it has just been so obvious, the moral sort of overreach that the government has been participating in and trying to, that Christians are just sort of waking up, you know, rubbing the sleep out of their eyes a little bit and going, okay, no, this isn't, you know, you're overstepping. And so I think it was just a very consequential result. Like, it was surprising a little bit, the results of the election, to some degree, but also not, when you just look at it and go, yeah. And Kelly, to your point earlier, I was listening before I came on, you mentioning, you know, are we better now than we were 4 years ago? And the answer is no. And I think if anyone were to look at sort of any nondescript country, if you just presented a random anonymous country with no name associated to it, and you just said, here's their economic numbers, here's their safety numbers, here's their, you know, all these different things that would sort of the average citizen would care about. And you look at it, and they're bad numbers. They don't look good. And then the question is, all right, there's an election coming up. How's the incumbent going to do versus the person trying to get in office? And my political science teacher used to tell me at San Diego State, most commonly, almost predictably, if things aren't better now than they were 4 years ago, whoever's in office is going out. And so I think that's sort of, there's that we had going for us, and then also all these moral issues that we saw the government overreaching.
Yeah, I'm just pumping my fist this whole time that you've been talking, by the way. Go ahead, Steve. I'll say more after.
Yeah, I just wanted to let folks know they're listening to Justin Windham, who is the senior pastor at Faith Community Church in Carlsbad, and kind of talking about how current events are impacting the church. You know, one of the things I've mentioned more than once is that if we didn't see some of the successes that we saw a month ago, and I almost say, are you better off now than you were 30 days ago?
Right.
I think it's starting to say yes. But, yeah. I mean, basically Trump has become the de facto president. But the reality is that it's going to take a lot of work. You know, I remind people that 70 million people voted for the other side. And now, how many of those were anti-Trump folks versus people who really thought Kamala was great? I don't know. But it's not like it was a 95-5 split. It was about a 48-52 split. And certainly on the Electoral College, it was much better. Basically a landslide in the Electoral College. But Yeah, and of course, in California, in our campaign to turn California red, we are seeing more and more, about 70% of the land geography in California is now red. Unfortunately, San Diego County, and of course up the coast, is still quite blue. Now, 10 counties, including Orange and Riverside County, did flip to red, meaning that these are folks that, and there are a lot of Christians and a lot of conservatives in Orange County and certainly in Riverside County. But we have our work cut out for us in San Diego County and North County. We still have the congressional seats that were up, including our own congressman, is a very pro-choice, pro-parent, Planned Parenthood type person. And even worse in East County, where Sarah Jacobs is the congresswoman. So we have plenty of work to do. And I challenged folks at our PAC luncheon back on Flag Day that we had about 40 pastors there. And Justin, you were tied up, but I think your wife mm-hmm. and others were there. But I challenged them to realize that pastors have phenomenal leverage, that when the parishioners sit in the congregation and they listen to the pastor, while they may have some disagreement from time to time, for the most part, the pastor has tremendous leverage in the thought leadership. And I can still remember, Justin, before the election, you did a very good job of taking a biblical approach to understanding the role of Christians in government and what is morally right and wrong. You know, a lot of folks think it's a Republican-Democratic issue. I don't view it that way. I view it as spiritual right. warfare. This is either, taking the life of a child, to have a president who doesn't have a problem taking the life of a newborn a day before they're born is a really bad person. I don't care what they say. And the immigration issues, the inflation issues, all these things are evil. And I don't look at them as red and blue. I look at them as basically, anti-God. So the pulpit is a great place to teach people not to think of, I don't even like using the word politics. I much prefer using the term spiritual warfare, because that's really what right. we're in. And I've mentioned, folks, we have our kids in a special part of the church. And, if that part of the church went caught fire and, would the congregation sit there and keep listening to you? No, they would get out and deal with it to save their children. Yeah. Not much difference with what's going on in Sacramento, and we have to look at that challenge as Christians, as leaders, and so. But I applaud your you came across very clearly before the election that it's time for folks to wake up and do what's right. And after the election, I will say this, Justin: a lot of folks came up to me that were very happy. The Sunday after the election, there was a joy, and these were folks that didn't necessarily, talk to me much. I think they maybe knew about the PAC, but you could tell it was almost like a relief and a joy mm-hmm. in their hearts. And so it's great. Now, there's another point I'd like to make or have you comment on, and without getting into details, you had to take a stand on an issue that you had a conviction on, and you took a stand, and a lot of people kind of gave you a hard time. Can you expand on not the specific issue, yeah. but so much of yeah. what it took to have the backbone to do that?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that, sometimes we'll get influx of people coming in from our church, to our church from other churches in the area, and it's for a variety of reasons. Obviously we like to see new believers coming into the church, but sometimes what inevitably happens is people who have been going to any given church in the area for some time, what they start to see is a drift away from the commitment to Scripture. And so the thing about the Bible is it is so clear about so many things. You know, some people like to point out like very obscure verses and like, well, look, what does this mean? And there are some obscure things in the Bible, but the Bible is so clear on so many things. And so when Christian churches try to manipulate and twist and massage the Bible to make it say things that are more palatable to the modern ear for the sake of, you know, getting, you know, rumps in the pew and keeping them there and keeping them happy. So, you know, you see all kinds of things from, you know, sort of big TV pastor, preacher personalities, as well as people that you never see on TV that are in your local community who lead a church or whatever. But, yeah, I've had to, from the pulpit, I've had to, you know, sort of point out where certain churches, not even necessarily naming them, but like pointing out, like, if you're listening to certain people, you're hearing certain things. And these pastors were reliable in what they were saying back in the day when they had a greater commitment to the Word of God. And now they're erring. And I think it is the job of a shepherd of a local church to sometimes point out if they know their congregation is hearing things, whether it's through social media or YouTube or all the different ways we can take in information, sometimes we have to use the scripture to rebuke and correct and train up the congregation to perceive where there is error. And yeah, without going into detail, I've had to sort of confront even other local churches that for decades were known as pillars in the community in terms of their standing on the Word of God. But then slowly, it's sort of like a drip, sort of like the frog in the pot of water that's slowly getting burned, but doesn't realize it because the temperature is just going up just a little bit each over a long period of time. And so you start to see some of that error. And so we've had people, you know, who've come to our church who basically we're just looking for a Bible preaching church that doesn't have an agenda, that's not trying to sort of massage the scriptures. And I think it's important that we let the Word of God speak for itself and not try and make it say what we want it to say, especially in our culture that, you know, there's so many opposing positions and so many social issues that we almost feel bad if we're not acquiescing to, you know, the LGBTQ community or whatever it is.
Right.
Well, just
absolutely. And I have to tell you something. You're speaking my language. I mean, my husband and I actually, after COVID, left a huge church. Same thing. I don't ever name them because I do think that it's possible they're doing some great work, you know, but it's a church that I went to my whole entire life. And I can tell you, it was an incredible experience, an incredibly gospel filled, love, grace, mm-hmm. discipline filled church. And something happened along the way. And my husband and I, we woke up to it and we just said, enough is enough. We have to leave. We cannot be a part of this. And that was after talking to pastors and the elders and going to them with, you know, letting them know what the problem was. And they refused to meet it head on. And there were crazy excuses. It was so I commend you. I'd say anybody in the area, you better get over to Faith Community Church because if I were closer, Justin, I'd be there every Sunday. I love everything you're saying. A real man says the truth. So I really
appreciate Kelly, can I just commend you too in what you did? Because I think it's so important if a congregant or member is ever considering leaving their church because of this kind of, you know, drift away from biblical commitment, it is really important to point that out to the pastors and the elders and to make your voice heard, not in an obnoxious way where you're trying to, you know, overturn everything or whatever, but to go to them. I've told people, hey, look, go back to the church that you just left. If you haven't talked to the elders, if you haven't exhausted yourself pleading with them to try and steer them away from error, go back and have as many conversations as you can. And of course, there's always a reasonable limit because someone, if they refuse, at some time you're like, okay, well, I've done my due diligence and now I'm going to leave. But yeah, that's a great example of doing it the right way.
We're wrapping appreciate up today with an exciting message from the Reverend Justin Windham. Justin, we only have maybe 30 seconds, but tell us the address and the time and maybe just real quickly some of the groups you've got in the church for ministry.
Sure. Yeah, so you can find us at myfaithcommunity.com. Sundays at 10 a.m., 2700 Rancho Poncho in Carlsbad. You can find us on Instagram at My Faith Community. And yeah, so we like to let the building be used. So we have a homeschool co-op, in a school enrichment program that families are at 2 days a week. Their kids are here and being taught wonderful things. We've got a really wonderful vacation Bible school in the summer. We have Bible study fellowship that comes in here. We like to really be a community-centered building where other like-minded ministries can come and utilize the church. And yeah, we're looking forward to a Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m. on December 24th. So we'll see you there.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you, Justin. And stay tuned for another great program on Biblical Citizenship Alive on Sundays between 12 and 1.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, SwensonChildrensFoundation.org.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle market public and private companies to high net worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Looking to buy your first car or home? Understanding your FICO score is key to achieving your life goals. Knowing your FICO scores helps you apply for loans with confidence and avoid surprises. With MyFICO, you get access to your FICO score, credit reports, 24/7 monitoring, and alerts on the go. Take the mystery out of your score and get your FICO score for free today. Visit MyFICO.com/free and discover the score lenders use most.